Hey there, it's Dane Reinhardt bringing you the President's Perspective, a conversation between current and future leaders of NAHU.
We're very lucky today to have our friend Alicia Riedel with us. I always want to go back to the way that that was mispronounced in the Don Goldman days, but it never seems quite as much fun as it was to listen to back in those days. Alicia is a Minnesota native and a bigwig at Mercer. I always get those big houses confused. They all seem the same thing to little guys like me. But Alicia is chair of the national secretary and has been a person that I think all of us who have been on board calls over the last 3 or 4 years have been incredibly blessed to have her motivating us to do and think about things differently. Welcome, Alicia, to the podcast.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Dean, for having me. I appreciate it.
Glad to have you. So one of the questions I had out of the box was, Alicia, a lot of our members, as David was alluding to, come from my firm is a nice regional firm in the Mid-Atlantic, mostly in D.C. and Baltimore. And David is part of a firm, as you know, that's heavily covering North Carolina and parts of the Southeast, but certainly not publicly traded and at the scope of the billions in revenue that you guys do. As a member, having that perspective and knowing that there just doesn't seem to be a lot of you actively engaged, whether it's Mercer or Willis or any of the ones that fit into that category or sphere, do you feel a little like, I don't know, is it like lonely or can you relate? Does it not matter? Like, what's it like? I mean, I just have never lived in that world. I've always been my own employer, so I just don't know.
Well, that's a big question. I think, first of all, probably a little bit of background on me and how I got involved in the association would be helpful, because I think that ties into why I'm still involved today. So my family is rooted in health and benefits, employee benefits. My father, who sadly just passed away a couple of years ago, owned his own agency, small agency. He specialized in self-funding. He was very creative, but you know, a big part of his book of business was smaller, fully insured groups. And if anyone knew my dad, Dave Wiest, he had a lot of opinions and found a home, I think, within what we call MAHU, so the Minnesota Association of Health Underwriters, and had a strong passion for it. Kind of in my blood, if you will, even though I originally had no desire to be within this industry at all, thought I would be a social worker or something like that. So when I first made my foray into the industry, it was obviously through my dad's agency. I would sit in his office and write my papers and use his stationery to do it. And, you know, all the way to being in college and answering phones to being pregnant with my daughter, working part-time with him and looking at all the self-funding reports that were coming in on paper, if you guys remember those days. So his involvement with MAHU was, I don't think, as strong when I was around in that age and time, but then I moved on to a carrier where I predominantly worked with Minnesota-based clients. And I started as a member service rep and then moved into working with consultants and brokers at a couple of different local carriers. And that's really when I got involved in MAHU. And like the rest of us, you know, I attended a Ledge meeting and the next thing you know, I was on the board and eventually president. And my dad was along the way with me too. He was Ledge chair and all sorts of things. So it was kind of a place to sort of percolate and really drive and sort of grow the passion that I have for the industry and understanding what an impact we have on people's lives, which sort of goes back to that wanting to be a social worker thing. And so, you know, I have this strong background in understanding the value of our state-based association, in really understanding the market in Minnesota specifically, and also having brokers and consultants be my clients. Also, having an affinity for your traditional broker, right? Because I was raised by one. So if you guys could excuse Gracie in the background, my dog here, making her presence known. So once I got involved, I kind of couldn't back out of it. It grew on me. It grew within me. And then eventually got involved in the National Association of Health Underwriters. I had no idea who NAHU was. And all of my perspective was the Minnesota chapter. And so once that started to happen, that's where I started to take those steps outside of more of that smaller, mid-sized broker, / being at a carrier and went to the consulting side. And that's where I started to work as a consultant with larger employers, with a firm that was publicly traded, as you said, and has multiple lines of business and resources and all that kind of stuff. So by the time I got to that place, I understood the value of our association. I understood the value that we provide, particularly legislatively and in advocacy. And so I didn't want to give that up. I feel like I learned a lot of my leadership skills through trial and error within this association as well, and have been able to sort of bring that within my consulting toolbox in a way that would have been more difficult had I not had the experience of working with the Minnesota Association or the National. So that's kind of my background. I would say that the question you're hinting at is like either why aren't big houses a part of the association, or how do we get them to be, or what's the value for someone like me? You know, and that's hard because it's not like you go to the consulting side and all of a sudden you're not a homo sapien anymore, right? Like you're still a human being. You're still a consultant. You still have the same desire to help your clients. It might be on a different scale, but at the end of the day, it's really some fundamentally the same thing that you're trying to do. It's just that you live in an ecosystem that's so much larger. And so the things like legislative advocacy or compliance or specialty services like HR consulting or compensation consulting or well-being or whatever it is, there's people that's their full job, you know, and that doesn't make us the bad guy, right? That doesn't make big consulting houses this big behemoth that like doesn't care about their clients. I would tell you that most of the people that I've worked with at Willis, at Towers Watson, and at Mercer, because I've been at all three, really do care. And so the traditional things that NEHU provides, or the local, even further, the state-based associations or the locals, the chapters, is that they're providing resources to our members that are equal to or similar to what a big house can provide internally. As I think about how is it that you've got pockets of people within these big houses that are members, because there are pockets, there's offices within Mercer that are heavily involved with NEHU or their local chapter. Same with Willis or, you know, whatever. It's because they've found those connections and they too, like me, see the value. And maybe their market segment is more under 1,000, for example, which is traditionally where our group sits. And so I think if we look to the future and we were able to execute on our strategic plan and really thinking about what the value is that we provide, there are very significant places in that where even beyond the relationships and the local connections, we could provide value and partnership, but it would have to be in a different realm, right? It might be, how do we get our legislative folks aligned with the legislative folks at, you know, one of the big houses, things like that. But the reality is that your time is managed differently when you work for a big house. Most of people are billable hours or sales folks, and they have to get approval essentially to be involved in things. It's not just a decision that an individual can make in a vacuum. And some people within our association would not like that, which totally makes sense, but it's just the reality of how it works. So how do we provide, the other piece I was going to say is education and professional development for the people in the growth part of their profession. Like, how can we align with those big houses to help them educate and put their people on a trajectory to be further on in their careers?
Right. I think what you just said is such an important perspective, because there's so many things that I think I run into in my business that somebody asked me about how to do it, and I'm like, I don't know. Let me go find somebody who can help. And I think having all that in one place is really amazing. The other thing you said that really struck me and is such a departure from the way that so many of us work on our size agencies is that point that so much of people's lives where you work is about hours and about all of those things. I also wanted to acknowledge Gracie gracing us with her presence. A lot of people on Facebook got to know Gracie when she learned how to talk over the summer and got more than a handful of people through the first few months of COVID. So we'd like to thank Gracie for showing up briefly on the podcast as well.
She's snoring, but I'm sure she feels honored to be acknowledged. Yeah, I mean, this association has a strong tendency, the people within it, to point fingers at the other side, right? Like the carrier is the bad guy, the legislator is the bad guy, the Democrats, the Republicans, the big houses, the little guy. there's this finger pointing that happens, and this sort of like marginalizing others. And I feel like part of my job in my career is to help bridge those gaps. I was very intentional in my personal professional life to try to have experience across all of the different aspects within our industry. The only one that I haven't really done is be on the employer side as like an HR leader or something. But as far as like consulting, broker, carrier, small agency, large agency, I've done all those things. And part of it was so that I could really experience and understand all the things that impact us. And so it sounds kind of Pollyannish, I guess, but I think that we will thrive if we're able to create an environment where we're providing value across all of those stakeholders instead of, let's say, just focusing on one stakeholder and putting our value just for them.
It's interesting. You didn't say it directly, but one of the things that I had hoped to do during the time leading up to and the tenure of serving the members as president is to, these are my words, so they're just phrases I'm probably using around David. But I, you know, if we look at our stakeholders, the one area I'd like to capture more broadly are external stakeholders, those that aren't members. So for example, whether it's a highly successful agency owner or executives within a large national corporation like yours, or even broadening that to the non-members that touch us, like Insurm or NAFA and all the other things like that, I believe that we have the ability to be selling ourselves to them. And that includes the media. I think that we could have a much stronger presence with a voice on the talking heads. I don't know how to get us there. You know, while there is that finger pointing, and I don't disagree with you, I also see opportunity for fertile ground that hasn't been tapped into, and that there is a path forward for the association, but it can't be what it used to be. It has to be an evolutionary move forward. And I do think that some of the steps that we've put in place, you know, over the last couple of years, whether it's broadening the tent through DEI as an example, that's not going to directly lead to a member tomorrow, but it's going to have a cultural shift that's going to broaden an opportunity and a way of thinking for people to look at us differently potentially. And I think that there is the opportunity for things like cross or dual memberships. I'm not suggesting this is going to happen tomorrow, but why couldn't we have some sort of relationship with SHRM or some of our sister organizations? Because many of our members are dual members of other associations. I just think there's collaboration that we could be doing through all those external partners. And I'm sorry to ramble on so long there. That's longer than I like to talk. But it seemed to be consistent with the way that you were talking and some of the things that you believe mm-hmm. and I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think you said a word that's really important, which is evolution, right? Like life is not stagnant. And technology, economy, you know, just the way we operate as individuals has changed. That's not a bad thing. It just is. And so I think it's our duty and our responsibility as leaders within the organization to set us up to be as agile as possible and to leverage the partners, leverage the reputations, if you will, of those that are a part of our association to build those bridges, because we're only, you know, again, stronger if we are finding ways to bring mass and numbers and voice to our causes and to, you know, helping our members. And whether that's some relationship with other associations that are similar to ours or that have complementary missions, or if that's making sure that the media thinks to come to us, or we go to them and we're successful at getting their attention when there's an issue. I think that we need to build our infrastructure and get people in positions who are wanting to support that, so that when those opportunities happen in our very evolving and rapidly changing environment, we're prepared to be leading the cause versus reacting to what's going on.
Yeah, and it's not to the exclusion of anyone, it's to the inclusion of more. We have such a broad tent and there's room for more growth for sure.
And I think for me, the professional perspective that I've I know a number of times on the board, we've heard from you about things that I've just been amazed at how much better that makes us think about things. And I do believe the more we evolve, that way of thinking is important. So there, Dane, now we have your convention theme, evolving to a new perspective.
Oh, I already nailed it down this morning.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We can use it for a future one.
Alicia, we've now figured out your national convention theme.
Oh, there you go.
To me, one of the things that I know, being friends, knowing how much your father meant to you and how much his involvement has led to you being where you are, I remember some of the stories that you've told about your dad and I think David Racer and a couple of those other guys in Minnesota that I just think say so much about who we have been and who we still are. You know, just that kind of very personal investment in our profession that really is so important in what we do. So thank you, because I do believe that is so much who you are.
Yeah, it's been 2 years since my dad passed away. And, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to even like put my head around the fact that that's true, because he was the center of our family. And, you know, his business was the bedrock of our ability to function as a family. It provided income, it provided steadiness, all that kind of thing. And so my brother and my mom are continuing to run his agency. And I'm pulling my brother into more NAHU things now, which is really great to see. I think that a huge part of what our job is to help the small businesses that are part of our organization and that are affected by our industry to be successful, because they can be. You know, there's this doomsday, like, oh, the small agency is going to go away, or, you know, the individual, I hear these things, you know, the individual producer is a thing of the past, or whatever it is. And I just don't believe that. You know, I think that there's a place for those that want to be a part of the industry, whether it's a two-person agency or it's a 20,000-person firm like my company. But truly the bedrock of who we've been and what we need to continue to support and evolve is that sort of small agency that, you know, really touches individuals and small businesses. And if you even see what's going on with COVID this year, you'll see that the small businesses are really the bedrock of our country too and our economy. And so, you know, we have to, in my opinion, as an organization, pull in and learn from all of the experts out there to say, how do we provide those tools and resources and support that small businesses need to be successful? And how do we help people get ready for that? Just because you have to change doesn't mean that your value goes away, right? That is sort of the piece of it that has my heart, if you will, within this organization. And the relationships and the network that this organization has within it is what really keeps us together. It's the glue. And I don't think we should ever minimize the impact that that has on our strength.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here and done all that you've done, because to be here, because I think the perspective that you bring is so important. You know, I love the way your mind works, and I think we're so much better because of it. So thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, as I think back on what you just said, I think about Minnesota and where I started with the association, and I know people really can see themselves in this, is that, you know, oftentimes when you get into a leadership position within this organization, there's a lot of emotions. You know, there's a lot of people that have been around a long time and have ideas about what's right and wrong and what we should do or what we shouldn't do, whether it's based on historical things or ideas that they have. And it can be really hard to navigate, because the people within our organization are very smart. They're very experienced and they're very passionate. And that's what draws me to it, but it also can be really intimidating. And so the thing that I've learned, whether it was through the Minnesota board and leadership experience or even on the national, is that I try really hard to just not let emotions and feelings and those sorts of things get in the way of what I think we should be doing based on, you know, what's best for the association. It's a long-winded way of saying, I think we have such great people in place now that work well together, and that the overall mission that we all have is to work towards what's best for the association overall, not just what's best for us as individuals. That is what I think will lead us to success is just continuing to ask ourselves what's best for the organization and how do we work together to make that happen.
Alicia, thank you for being with us. I think we'd really like you to maybe do this again.
Can talk just to replace us.
Definitely.
No.
Our
we could talk about issues or something instead of talking about me.
I think so much about what the things we've talked about on these calls have been about the people and why we do what we do and really the perspectives we bring, because it's frankly sometimes more important than the issues. I think for people to have confidence in why we're invested in this is equally important in my mind. And so that's why the personal side is so important to me. But no, thank you. And thank you for doing what you do for us, association.
Yeah,
being our friend, sure. That's really important too. So,
you too, guys. Right. Thanks a lot.